Time now to go to Sunday school with the professor.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you?
Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lawrence.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Brought to you by River Islands, one of the country's top-selling master plan communities just across the Altamont in Lathrop. Where else can you live on a lake, next door to a park, or walking distance to your kid's new school? With 10 new neighborhoods, River Islands is the one place you can't afford to miss.
All right, nice to have you back with us. We love the open for the professor on a Sunday. Well, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing well. I just want to apologize right now to you and the listeners because I'm going to be coughing once in a while because I just can't get rid of these allergies down here in Arizona. They're terrible this year.
Well, make sure you cough into your elbow.
That's right. That's right. We got to cough into our elbows and we have to shake hands with our elbows, right?
Right. And do that and then jump up and down and twist around three times and wash your hands and you'll be fine. That's it.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. I'll do that.
All right. Well, you were a TV star the other night, Wednesday, and let's get right into it. There's a lot of baseball to talk about. So many things going on. We have a little list here. But let's get into Ron Wotus and Kershaw on Wednesday night. What happened?
Well, first off, my intent was not to cause any type of scene at all. I wanted Kershaw to know that we didn't think it was okay that he drilled us in a spring game when we weren't trying to hit Justin Turner. And that's the bottom line. I have the utmost respect for Kershaw as a pitcher and a person. He's always been an upstanding guy. But in the moment, it was uncalled for. Early in the spring, Turner gets hit on the hand by Johnny Cueto. He wasn't trying to do it. And an inning later, he gets two quick outs and with his great command, he drills our catcher right in the hip. So I just let him know that as I, jog past him on the mound. And that's where it all started.
It was great. It was a great look. It was a big TV moment. You were on. It was your TV debut for 2020. I thought it was fabulous. And what did Kershaw say to you?
Well, I kind of told him in not so many words that, that wasn't right. Hitting our guy, and he just yelled, what did you say? And I told him you heard me and kept going. It's over with. It happened, and we actually had a short exchange the next inning, which thank goodness, the cameras didn't pick up on. But, he said, hey, if you want to talk, we'll talk. And I just said, you didn't have to hit our guy. And that's the bottom line. And I think he knows it. The umpires know it because – Kersh got a little upset and he started coming at me. He's very fiery and emotional out there. And the umpires got together and they gave the warnings. They probably should have done something right then and there. But, of course, I don't expect them to do that with Clayton Kershaw on the mound in a spring game. But it was obvious to everybody that he hit us on purpose.
All right. I love it. Very good. All right. That is the professor on Wednesday night on TV. If you have a chance to go back and take a look at it. Absolutely. And Will described it very well. Hey, Pablo.
Yeah.
And I was at the game, and, I want to tell you, and this is, we'll go to school with the professor here, but he scored from third on a wild pitch that honestly was maybe 3 feet from home plate, and he's on third base. It is Pablo. Take us through that one because he belly flopped in, and he was safe by a mile, and I thought it was a great hustle play.
It was. And, that all happens from the preparation before. Excuse me. Pablo, we had two outs. And, I always go over the scenarios with him. Hey, two outs. The ball gets away. Let's take a chance. It's easier to score, running there if you got a shot to score than waiting for a two-out hit. And, there was left-hand hitter up, and the third baseman's way off the line. So what makes the play is his ability to get down the third baseline further because the third baseman is not close. And Pablo looked at me and told me, the pitch before, if it's in the dirt, I'm gone. And sure enough, it came, and he was ready for it. You have to anticipate. He did, and he was in there safe. And great base running play by Pablo, being ready for the moment.
Well, you've known Pablo a long time. What is his baseball IQ for him? You've known him a long time. He came up as a catcher.
Yeah. No, you're right, Marty. People, they don't, you know, think of that when you think of Pablo about baseball IQ, but he has it. You know, he signed when he was 16 years old. He's been around the major leagues his whole adult life, it seems like, and he's got a tremendous baseball IQ. You know, you're not going to be a good hitter like him if you don't. And, you know, in the field, he has the same IQ, knows what's going on, knows his surroundings. He doesn't miss signs. Many people don't realize that about him. And he's ready for moments. And, you know, that's how you sum up a baseball IQ. He's always well prepared. And, you know, it's really refreshing to have professionals like that, because the good ones do that. You know, they're professional. They get the signs. They understand how important it is to run the bases. And he's not the fastest afoot. We all know that. But he gets the most out of his ability in all areas of the game.
Boy, very good. Remember John Jaha? Remember him, the first baseman?
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Wash was the third base coach for the A's, that if when Jaha came around second and if he was coming around third, you couldn't stop him. You know, he was like a Mack truck, and I guess Pablo's got a little bit of that. When he starts rolling, you let him roll.
You let him roll, but you got to stop him early, because it's going to take him, you know, he's got a downshift a couple of times, and he's going to take 8 to 10 steps before he actually gets that freight train stopped and get back to a base. So we try to let him know early when there's a decision on whether to hold him or send him.
Very good. All right, that is a third base coach. The professor is back. Good lessons from the professor today. All right, Mauricio Dubon. He was playing short the other day. I want to get your analysis of him as a fielder, Woe, and maybe best position, whatever you think, or a little bit of what you see. But he tried the back pick. In other words, the double play, second to short, and instead of going to first, he tried to get the runner rounding third, and I call it the back pick. Take us through that play a little bit. Was it a good play? Is it a good play? What did you think?
Yeah, well, you're always looking at that as a middle infielder, whether you're the second baseman or the shortstop. And typically, you know, when the ball's hit, you know whether it's a double play ball or not. You know the speed of the runner. And in his mind, he felt like he didn't have a shot at the runner at first base. And when you don't have a shot at the runner at first base, you want to fake a throw to first, excuse me, and turn around and throw to third. And that's what he did. But I think his decision-making on that play was not the best. And I think he was just thinking about that play, the way it developed. And he really did have a shot at first base, and Johnny Cueto would have been over there. So if you have any shot at all at turning that double play, say the second base feeds you at short, and you got a shot at the batter runner at first, you need to make the throw. He faked the throw to first and turned around and throw to third. And, you know, those guys come around the bag hard, and a lot of times you can get that guy at third base. And, you know, we didn't execute it on that play, but, you know, it's something you're always looking for. It's kind of like a third base coach who has a chance to send somebody on the inside the park home run. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking for it, and sometimes when you get that chance, you force it. And I think he just forced it in that situation in that game.
Now, what do you do on offense as a third base coach in a situation like that? You see a ball that's hit. It's a slow hit ball. It's probably not going to be a double play ball. Do you alert the runner coming around third, say, hey, heads up or something?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I won't bring him around the bag because – you got to be aware of that play. So you see that it's not going to be a double play or it's going to be close. You need to stop the runner on the bag and not let him come around anticipating the throw to first. So if you're not and that guy comes around the base, he's going to get back picked, as you mentioned. So, yeah, you have to be aware of it as well. And, of course, as a third base coach, you're always looking for that as well, to make sure that runner stays close to the base if that play's developing.
One other one. I'm glad that we could catch up on some of these baseball plays, even down here in spring training. There was one earlier in the week. Slater was on third. It was a pop-up down the right field line. It was not clear. It was in no man's land. It was, you know, maybe 50 feet behind first base. Everyone was converging on it. I didn't know, should Slater just tag up on the play? Should he go halfway? And then it dropped, and I just wasn't sure what the right play was. What was your thought on that?
Well, to your point, I think a lot of people are not sure what the right play is because we had a lot of discussion about that. And it's not an easy play for the runner or the third base coach because you're in shallow right field and the ball went up, you know, on the line, the second baseman, right fielder, first baseman are all going for the ball. Now, it's an easy decision if you know the ball is going to be foul. because anytime it's foul, you just stay at the base and tag up. And you can, you know, if you can't score, you can at least draw a throw and see what it looks like. But from our vantage point, we couldn't tell it was going to be right on the line. I don't know if the second baseman was going to catch it, if the right fielder was going to catch it. And if the right fielder catches it, it's certainly not deep enough to score on. So you don't want to tag. If the second baseman catches it, you know, he's running away from play. He's got to turn and throw. And it's a difficult play. But not knowing which guy would catch the ball, you know, I told Slater to go halfway. Because the last thing I wanted to happen with one out is that ball drops in as a base hit and he's standing on third because it bounces right up to the right fielder. Now he can't score. So we kind of cut bait there and took, you know, our best chance if it did fall in. I had to get an RBI in that play opposed to trying to tag up and the ball falls in. Now we got egg on our face. Now the ball did land foul by 2 feet, but we couldn't tell if it was going to be fair or foul.
Good one. Yeah, that's a tough one, boy. You know, and even, you know, watching baseball for so many years, I didn't know. I honestly didn't know what should happen on that play. So, yeah, you called it right, because if it does bounce up to the right fielder, you can't be standing on third base. That can't happen. And that it's a single at that point. All right. I like the analysis on that. Yomer Sanchez is playing short today. Well, give us a little scouting report on him. The arm, analytically, the arm is like one of the best. It's not Sean Dunston, our dear friend Sean Dunston, but it's a good arm, and he's playing short today. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Sean Dunston. I got a chance to see him last night at our dinner, and it was great to see Sean. But, yeah, no, he doesn't have a Sean Dunston arm, and you know what he is? He's a baseball player. And, you know, you and I use that term a lot. You know, I used it with Bill Miller and all other types of players that, you know, the tools don't light up the charts, or, you know, the analysts don't look at the tools and say, wow, he's in the top 5% of this, and that. But he knows how to play the game. He's got tremendous hands. He's got the best hands in camp, no doubt about it. I mean, they do these drills in the morning. I mean, Craw's right there with him. But, you know, they do these drills in the morning, and he never misses a ball. So, you know, his range is probably not what you're looking for an everyday shortstop. And his arm's probably a touch below as well, but he makes the plays. He knows how to play, and he's got enough arm strength when he's got to cut it loose that he's going to get the ball there. So he just, nothing flashy, although he can make the great play. But at shortstop, you know, I think it's probably a little bit more of a challenge for him. He's tremendous at second. He's tremendous at third. But it's short because of the range and not the arm probably he used to have. He profiles better on the corners, but certainly can play shortstop in a pinch. And that's where he's going to play today because, you know what, the flexibility. And if he's on this team, it would be a nice option for him to go to shortstop when we need him to do it.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I like the arm. And our analytical guy, Mark A. Simon, says from Sports Info Solutions, says, you know, when this guy, he'll throw people out from spots on the field that you don't think he can throw someone out. His range is not the best, but the arm, he said, statistically looks good. So we'll see what happens with that today, but that's a good report on him. Flores is in as well today. Well, he's at second today.
Yeah, he's at second. You know, I'll go back to Sanchez's arm. You know, I haven't seen that arm yet in camp from him.
Okay.
And, you know, as I said, being a veteran guy, you know, maybe he's saving it. But, you know, he does have the arm strength, but he hasn't showed it all that much. Maybe he'll get a play in the hole and we'll get a look at that. But back to Flores, he's at second. I mean, he's a professional hitter. I like to call him a professional hitter. He gives you a real good at bat, especially against lefties. And, you know, second base, he's you know, a little older, and his quickness and range is probably a little bit below average. And, you know, he's working hard on, you know, all the things he has to do at second base to play that position efficiently for us. But that's what you get. You're going to get a good at bat, and we hope he makes all the routine plays and turns the double play and does all the things at second that, you know, you expect to happen in a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah, let him be Jeff Kent. Let him hit 43 home runs.
Yeah, you know, I'd rather have a little less range in the infield than in the outfield, right, Marty? Because when you...
Yeah.
You mentioned Jeff Kent. You mentioned Rich Aurelia, another all-star shortstop that was a tremendous player for us, him and Kent. You know, we went to the World Series with guys. They didn't light up the range chart, the infield, right? But they can really swing the bat. So, if he can hit and provide offense, he's definitely playable.
I love it. Oh, well, hey, we're in mid-season form. Well, this is good. Very good.
Is it mid-season yet, Marty?
It's mid-spring training. How about that?
Okay, there you go. That's right, mid-spring training. I hope it goes a little quickly so we can start this thing for real.
Yeah, we will. And, of course, let's touch on River Islands just for a second. You know, what impressed me about it, Woe, and you've been out there, the different types of homes. And I want to make sure that fans understand this, that different builders put the spec homes together. Then you pick it out and, you know, they build the home for you. I think that's an amazing part because it's not like Levittown. It's not, you know, back where you used to live, you know, complete tract housing. It's really different, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, there's different sizes, different layouts. You know, you're on the waterway. You're not on the waterway, but you're close to it. You're overlooking open space. You got a view of the river. I mean, so there's a lot of different options for you. But as we always talk about, you know, all the stuff they have to do out there with the options for the housing, you can almost get any scenario that you're looking for. So yeah, it's worth taking a look to see what fits, you know, what kind of home you're looking for. They probably have it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's riverislands.com. Well, we'll be watching you today. I hope you're waving them in, and we'll have a good game, and I appreciate the time as always. So you're the professor.
Well, Marty, great being with you as always, and I hope I wave in 10 or 12 today.
Well, let them at least go first to third. I like that.
Yeah, that's an exciting play. Let's do that a few times and then make sure we get them in when they get to third.
All right. Very good. Well, thanks so much.
You got it.
All right. That is the professor, our third base coach of the Giants, and that is Ron Wotus on a Sunday morning. Boy, woe on Sunday morning. Nothing better than that.